Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alrighty, coming here from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, who found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. How's everybody doing today? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 206, Twitter, at Tiki and Tierney. So, Santer, how do we plug this new Facebook thing that we're doing? How do we, let's start directing people there. We just started, no, seriously. We just started something. It's up there live. It's awesome. Allison helped us out. Allison Cohen, obviously. Marlo was involved as well.
The easiest thing is just to go to CBS
How do we
Sports
do this here?
Facebook page.
Okay, that's
CBS
it.
CBS Sports Facebook page. Go to Facebook.com or Facebook app.
Mm-hmm.
Most people go to Facebook on an app. They don't go to Facebook.com.
I don't. You know what? I'll be honest with you. On my phone, I've got Instagram. I've got Twitter. I don't even have Facebook on my phone.
Yeah.
I don't need to just waste time Facebook on my phone.
Yeah.
No, and that's the last thing I want to say is like, as I pump out something we're doing on Facebook. But I mean, like, to just get inundated in some nonsense.
Yeah.
Like, I'll go to Facebook, and that's where I watched it during the commercial, and it came out great. It's a little three and a half minute encapsulation. We'll do it once a week. Adam Schein's going to do it as well. Romy's going to do it. Gio and Boomer will do it. So it's a great relation. It's new. It's a new initiative. It's a great endeavor. We're fired up to be a part of it. And I know we'll do it once a week. I believe we'll do it every Wednesday. Maybe once in a while, twice a week. But it's awesome. So it's basically, you know, no hemming and hawing. Boom.
Yep.
Here's the topic. We get right into it. And today was about baseball and Cora. So Facebook, CBS Sports,
yep.
Get after it.
CBS
see what's
Sports.
Happening.
It's easy. It's great. Easy to find.
Really was good.
And easy to disseminate. Send it to all
they
your
edited it nicely. It looks good, too.
Send it to all your friends, too.
Absolutely. Bill Cowher, speaking of CBS, will join us coming up next segment. All the Famer. And the entire crew is going out to Arrowhead this week, which is awesome. Everybody. So Boomer and JB, everybody on the NFL today.
Well, it's the last game.
Nate Dogg.
It's their last game of the season.
Last
obviously
game of the season.
The AFC Championship.
Bill
and
Sims,
then, and then the Super Bowl is a Fox.
I think it's a Fox.
Super Bowl. So this is their last effort, their last opportunity to showcase.
That's right.
All the good things they've been doing this year.
And it's a hell of a showcase, too, because number one, the show is terrific, but the matchup is so... so uniquely different. You know, listen, this is not a shot at the Patriots. This is not, you know, taking a little hit while they're down. Edelman just got pinched, and Brady might leave. Yeah, he's getting old. Belichick, who knows? Pats aren't nearly as good as they were. That's not my intent. I say this just, and I really think I speak for everybody, like, or at least non-Patriot fans. The freshness of this AFC Championship game is so welcome.
Yeah.
It is so welcome.
Yeah. To not be at Gillette Stadium with the Patriots hosting the AFC Championship game and some, I don't know, lesser team. That's bad to say that, but I will because they beat most of them. Some lesser team trying to win up in Boston.
No.
It became tiring.
I was fatigued. I mean,
but this is awesome.
This
first
is great.
Of all, because Arrowhead is amazing.
Yep.
It's one of the great places in the NFL to play.
It's one of the great venues in American sport.
I think you're right.
Not just the NFL.
Well, it's also because of the fan base. Like
that's what I mean.
They're rabid. They're dialed in.
They all wear red.
Exactly. It's almost like
it's
a
natural.
College. It's almost like a college.
Yeah,
feel.
It is. It's a lot. Like it's very collegiate. Yeah.
Like, so I went to the whiteout this year in Penn State. I'm like, dude, how do you get everybody? Like, how does everybody conform to wear white? Like, it's one thing to be like, yeah, we're all gonna wear white. And one dude's like, I don't feel. I'm not wearing white.
Yeah, no.
They all do it.
Yeah.
The same thing happens in Kansas City. They all
hand out 100,000 white shirts.
Exactly.
Though, do they?
No,
it's not waiting for you. You wear white on your own.
You go get it on your own, and you do it, and you love it, and you buy in. That's how Arrowhead is. That's why it's a great venue. Weather, who knows what it's going to be out there in Kansas City, but it's welcome. Let's put it that way.
It's a great backdrop for what's going to be awesome. Now let's get to this, and obviously tomorrow will be, you know, today will be mid shin deep. Tomorrow. We'll be waist deep, and then Friday we'll be swimming up to our ears in this, and by design. But I want to talk about the Titans here because I think when the question is asked, how do you slow down the Chiefs? Can anybody stop the Chiefs? Well, I think there's two answers. I think, number one, the Chiefs could stop the Chiefs, as we saw in the first quarter the other day, where they were a little bit too tight, like a drum.
You just can't count on that, man.
Oh, no. I'm not saying if the Titans are relying on that, which I know that they're not, then they're going to get blown out.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that was an anomaly. I thought, you know, Kelce dropping passes, Tyreek Hill dropping passes, missed assignments, Mahomes, you know, before he went to the bench and rallied the team, and obviously they reacted to it in a positive way. They looked, they just looked tight. They, you know, I mean, because it's inexplicable. You don't, it's not representative of who they are. I mean, they are such a high level efficiency, potent, equal parts efficiency and potency, that to see them dropping passes, a lot of them, they were wide open.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen again. The other way to beat the Chiefs, or at least give yourselves a chance to beat the Chiefs, is to run the hell out of it.
Yeah.
Enter Mr. Henry.
Yeah. And so the hardest thing for, I think, the Tennessee Titans are going to be not getting ahead of themselves or not thinking ahead of themselves. Like, man, we got to, in order to win this game, we're going to have to score 30-something points. Because that's just not their game. Like, it's not what they do. It's not, they're not going to be able to do it. As you can, as you saw over the last, what, 8 weeks or 9 weeks of the season, once Ryan Tannehill took over, they did start scoring a lot of points. And they were fifth in the league at the end, by the time the season was over. But that's somewhat of an anomaly, right? It's not.
Well, is it? I don't know that. I don't know if I agree with that. Brown's a real vertical threat. Derrick Henry's the best running back in football.
True, and Tannehill has a great job. He does a great job, like, putting the ball where it has to be.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? He throws his receivers open. It's not like he's go make a spectacular catch, wide receiver. That's not how Ryan Tannehill somehow he developed into this quarterback who knows how to put the ball where it needs to be.
Real touch.
And so maybe it is. Maybe it is like who they ultimately become. But at the end of the day, in order to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, you got to outscore them. The Chiefs aren't going to bludgeon you on defense. I mean, they're good. They're much better on defense than they have been. But they're not bludgeoning you on defense. They're not holding you to, you know, a touchdown and a field goal. They're saying, we're going to score as much as we can, seven possessions in a row as they did last weekend in the divisional round. Can you keep up?
Mm-hmm.
And Houston, for a while, they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to hold form here. We jumped out to a big lead. It's hard to keep up with that. The question I have for the Tennessee Titans is if that happens, and I got to just believe that's going to happen with the Kansas City Chiefs at home, right?
Okay.
Can the Tennessee Titans keep up? I don't know. And that's the question I don't know. Because they're so heavy in their run game.
Mm-hmm.
They're so, let's turn around and hand it off 30 times. I mean, Ryan Tannehill threw the ball 14 times last week.
But that's why I don't think they're going to be behind big, because of how they run the ball. Let's say the Chiefs score first.
But here's the problem, though. The Chiefs can score in three plays. Or the Chiefs can score in one play. And so, Derrick Henry's crushing it. Time possession is heavily in their favor. But they kick field goals or, you know, they don't get a touchdown.
But they don't kick field goals. They're actually 10 for their last 10 red zone touchdowns. They score touchdowns.
But percentage of drives, I got to look this up, actually. Percentage of drives scoring touchdowns.
I bet you, with Tannehill?
Full percentage of drives scoring touchdowns.
I bet it's among the top 6 or 7 teams in the NFL.
I mean, it has to be because they're in top 5 scoring.
Yeah.
But it's one thing to do it in the regular season against, you know, the AFC whatever North or the AFC Central or whatever it may be.
Against the Ravens too.
It's another thing to do it against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Did against the Ravens
in Kansas City
in Baltimore.
Yeah,
who
because,
were the one seed.
Because Lamar Jackson threw an interception on the first series, and he threw an interception and fumbled in back to back possessions. He basically handed them points.
But you still have to get in the end zone if you're fair. But if you're like an average offense,
do you think,
might kick three, even though Lamar gave you the ball three times.
Do you think that Pat Mahomes is going to make the mistakes that Lamar Jackson made last weekend that gave the Tennessee Titans short fields and the ability to jump out to 14-point lead?
I don't, but that's not my point. They still could have walked away with three. They walked away with seven.
The Tennessee Titans.
Yeah,
of course.
Sure, they were handed short fields. You could still walk away with three on a short field, and a lot of offenses do.
Yeah,
I bet you the Houston Texans do that a lot more than people.
Yeah, of course they do.
You know what I mean? Like, I think some decent teams do that.
Yeah.
They don't have a propensity or the ability to punch it in.
True, but I don't think – I just think it's a different equation.
Okay.
Right? The Baltimore Ravens are good. They've always been front runners. Lamar Jackson, once he gets going and he gets you on your heels and you're halfway standing around watching than trying to defend him, that's not the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, there's a different experience here. Let's not forget, they were in the AFC Championship game last year, the Kansas City Chiefs. And so the Tennessee Titans, who have been playing above themselves in so many different ways, mostly with you know, how they've been able to score as many points despite not throwing the ball in a passing league. Ryan Tannehill has 160 yards the last two weeks.
It really is amazing.
And he's 50% completion percentage. If it's not for Derrick Henry, and if I'm trying to sell out, if I'm Kansas City, I'm selling out to stop Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. Ryan Tannehill, great, you can beat me. Go ahead. But you still got to outscore us. You're gonna air it out, Ryan Tannehill, against our team, airing it out. Good luck to you. We're not going to let Derrick Henry beat us. And I think that's the game plan Kansas City is going to come in with at home. They just have an advantage. Mm-hmm. I think they just have a big advantage.
Oh, I'm not disputing that.
The advantage was also there for the Baltimore Ravens, but the Baltimore Ravens was kind of like it was new. Like we hadn't seen it. Like this was brand new for the Ravens. So even for them, they didn't know how to handle their success. And when they had some failures, they didn't know how to respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
This Kansas City Chiefs team has been good for 8 years.
They should have been in the Super Bowl last year.
Well, of course, but they've been good for 8 years.
Yeah.
Like, even without Alex Pat Smith. Mahomes, they were good.
Absolutely. And no, so they won a lot of games with Alex.
This is a different history of getting to this point or getting in the postseason and having success, and Andy Reid has had a ton of it.
Let me ask you this.
Mike Vrabel, by the way, is in his second year. He's going to be coach of the year, right? Maybe he's coach of the year. I don't know, but he's in his second year.
He's going to get a lot of votes if he doesn't win. He's going to be second or third. Real quick, because we have Coach Cowher coming up, and we'll get a nice lengthy chat with Coach. If Ryan Tannehill comes out Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and goes, I'm just throwing something wacky out there. Say if he matches, you know, throw for throw.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they don't look as pretty as Mahomes.
Yeah.
Sideways. And,
yeah.
But if he puts up 315 and three touchdowns, are you going to come back on the air Monday and say, I'm not paying him 30 mil? Are you still going to say that? Because the guy's starting to slay a lot of demons and prove a lot of people wrong.
Yeah, because he's too old to be your guy. He's to be 31, 32.
Mm-hmm. Think he's better than Kirk Cousins?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
He's
more talented.
Yeah.
Just pure physical talent. Than Kirk Cousins. He got the, you know, 190-ish million for 3 years guaranteed from the Vikes. About the same age, just about. I can't wait for this. Both games. Conference championship Sunday is going to be awesome. Okay, coming up, the coach, Bill Cowher, going to the Hall of Fame. We'll talk about his journey, some of the games coming up this weekend, and who knows what else, but it's going to be awesome. Coach is next, right here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Our next guest, our colleague here, of course, the great Bill Cowher, CBS NFL Today analyst. What a night Saturday. I don't know which direction this was. I don't know if he was going to hug Baker, pop Baker. It was incredible. We're so thrilled for him. And he is with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Coach, first of all, you know, I've already told you this, but hearty congratulations, Bill. How you doing today, buddy?
Thanks, BT. I appreciate it. Tiki, you know, you belong in there as well, my friend. But I'd say you know, playing the game, as long as you played the game, it's quite an honor.
Hey, Coach, what was your emotion? I mean, you kind of knew it was on the horizon, but you didn't know it specifically it was going to happen. But what was your emotion?
Well, you know, honestly, Tiki, I talked to my wife, V, on Saturday morning because I know they voted on Wednesday. I had not heard from anybody. And so my first thing is I told her, I said, listen, I don't think I'm going to get in. I said, you know, listen, I've been a fan, a finalist, and there's a lot of really worthy people on there. I said, I'm okay with it. I said, you know, my story's out there. The resume's there. And if it's, you know, if it doesn't make it, that, I'm fine with it. I got closure to it. And so I came in to the show, and we had the production meeting. I'm thinking, okay, people are starting to ask me, have you heard this? And no one said a word. I'm going, wow, that's pretty good. I said, they kind of respectfully are giving me my space.
Mm.
And then I'll let you know if someone calls me. And so I had, like, zero. I hadn't even been thinking about anything. All of a sudden, they said, hey, we're going to do the eye vision on the other wall this time. And David and Sean would like, David Burson and Sean McManus would like to see how that looks. I'm going, okay, well, that makes sense. Okay, so I'm going to get ready to do my eye vision. I see Sean and David walk out onto the set. I'm going, wow, man, they really want to see how this looks. Like, I don't want to screw this up. And so, you know, Phil leads in talking to me. I said, yeah, Phil, how about this Lamar Jackson? I'm looking up here, and all of a sudden I see Phil looking to the side, and I see David Baker. And we all know what David Baker stands for. You know, he's the walking Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And it's just like, okay. And then I just thought, wait, like, I brought closure to it. And usually it's a knock on the door. It's a phone call or something. It's not on live TV. This is not the way this is supposed to be. It's just like, because this is not how I envisioned this. And, you know, I pulled him back in, and then as he started to talk like that, it was, you know, it just just resonates. It just you're processing all this information like, wow.
Yeah.
I'm okay with everything, and all of a sudden now I'm not okay with it. Now I'm in. Like what?
They pulled you back in.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and then I see my wife over there, and I see my daughter over there, and then, you know, afterwards I told V, man, you let me talk all morning about it, closure, and you didn't say a word.
Oh, so she knew before you did. Oh, that's crazy.
No, she goes, I didn't know. They just called me 45 minutes ago.
Oh, I got
you. What if she wasn't home?
I know. That's crazy.
I know. That's right. But they were tracking her. They were, you know, somebody was texting with her. So
it
was like really wild because they did the same thing with my daughter. They knew they were like, my daughter said, somebody was calling me like, where are you at? And so I'm like, well, I'm here. Like, what's going on? Like, and so they waited till last minute to tell them, and then, you know, just being on there with the guys. I mean, I reflect back. I said, you know, who better to be with than, like, since I stepped down, and to have Boomer and Phil and Nate and JB to be right there, and, you know, the CBS family we have with Drew Kalisky and just, you know, everybody. And Sean and David were there, Harold, Tyler. Mm-hmm. It was just, I don't know, it was a really special moment, and you know, I couldn't have thought of a better group of people to be around. And, it, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, we had to do the show and doing the game, and halftime's coming up, and I'm thinking, man, I'm trying to watch the game, thinking about what to say, but I'm like, I'm still shunned. I'm looking down at my phone, and it's like, okay, there's 60 texts. And I look down again. There's 120 texts. And I look down, I go, holy crap, there's 270 texts I got. I go, wow.
You're like, what, do I know 270 people?
Yeah, exactly. There was a few of them. There were some different threads that had multiple people on it. I said, but, then you get the emails, you check that. And so I've actually spent 2 days getting back to each and every one of them.
That's great.
And just tried to end it because, you know, there were players, there were coaches, there were friends, there were family. It's just, you know, it's overwhelming. It's very humbling. It's very special, and it's one of those things I think that every day it resonates more and more.
We're talking to the great Bill Cowher, and, you know, one of the things I've said about Bill as whenever it comes up, certainly as Teek and I got into this on Monday when we talked about it on our show, just, you know, I know you can get angry. You know, they'll call you the chin for a reason. Man of discipline, for sure. But this is the most pleasant man every single Sunday, firm handshake, legitimate, believable, genuine smile. It's awesome. Bill Cowher's with us here on Teek and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
So, Coach, have you thought about who's going to induct you? Have you thought about your speech? You know, and I think also, when you think back on your career, we'll look at Super Bowl 40 and, you know, the success that you brought to the Steelers. But is there a moment that we don't know about that, to you, defines who you were as a head coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yeah, you know, as far as, like, the whole thing, I got a call this afternoon. They're talking about next steps with this. And I said, you know what? You know, and even like Saturday night, I really, honestly, I went back and with V and I sat back and had a glass of wine. I got to go to bed. I got a show tomorrow. And I said, you know, and now I'm down here in Nashville. Did I sit down with Mike Vrabel this morning for the show on Sunday and going out on Friday night. So I'm really going to sit back, I think, next week and just kind of sit back and get some thought as to what, you know, what those next steps are. And I think, you know, I've done a number of interviews, Tiki, and it's really interesting because I was just talking about how I think this has been one of Mike Vrabel's better coaching years. And
it's true.
Yet, you know, made it make the playoffs. And it just made me think, like, was there one of those moments for you? And I go back to the year 2000. The year 2000, we were coming off two losing seasons. We got a new GM and Kevin Colbert.
Mm-hmm.
The Rooneys had entrusted me in moving forward. And we got off to a tough start. We finished up 9-7. We went through Kent Graham and went back to Cordell. And you know, Cordell was on and off again for about 8 years in there. And so that year I think might have been my best coaching year.
Yeah.
It was a year we didn't go to the playoffs. We were 9-7, but I knew that we were on the right track. The next year we went 13-3 in 2001, went to the AFC Championship game. So it's one of those things sometimes, you know, your best coaching job doesn't always reflect the year you won a Super Bowl, reflect by your record. Sometimes your best coaching year is sometimes when you're able to get through those periods of adversity where it could go one way or the other. You know, I'm sure you know, you've been in that locker room. Sometimes it's like there's times when this thing, you can feel it, you know, you've got to pull this thing back in or you're going to lose them. And that year, 2000, which I just actually just sharing with you now, because I said I just in doing these interviews and talking about Mike just made me have to do a little bit of self-reflection. Did I have one of those years? Uh-huh. I did. I think it was the year 2000.
That's pretty awesome. By the way, the entire crew is going to be out there, obviously, at Arrowhead. It's at CBS Titans of the Colts. So we got Jim Nantz, Tony Romo, Tracy Wolfson's going to be there, of course, Jay Feely, Gene Steratore, doing his thing with replays, and Lord knows we'll get a bunch of replays and a lot of questionable calls, and the entire, because that's football now, and the entire NFL Today crew is going to be out there as well. You know, you mentioned a few of the quarterbacks that you had. You come in, you take over for Chuck Noll. I want to run this by you, Coach, here. You take over for Chuck Noll, and I believe they were 7-9 before you took over. And right. You, well, it was 7-9, right?
Yeah, they had been to the playoffs one time in the previous 7 years.
Okay, so it was obviously the end of the legendary 70s, and the 80s were kind of winding down, and you had to get a little bit of a reboot. You had Neil O'Donnell for a couple of years. You had Mike Tomczak. You talk about Slash with Cordell Stewart. Ken Graham, I mean, some of Tommy Maddox. You know, you had Ben for a couple of years, but you had a young Ben. How much different, Bill, is it being a coach when you have a franchise quarterback versus when you don't, which, to be fair, you really almost never did?
No, and I think the thing that you realize is that, you know, when the other teams we had, there was very little margin of error. And I always say your strengths get you into the playoffs, but your weaknesses, you get more exposed the further you go. And, you know, I know we got to those championship games, but, you know, we just had no margin of error. And, you know, we lost in some championship games that way. But, you know, again, when you get a guy like Ben, it's just, you realize when you don't have a, you know, a franchise guy or a Hall of Fame guy as Ben is, when you get one of those, it's like, wow. You know, he makes plays that aren't drawn up. He does things that extend drives. He does things that, wow, okay, in the game of football, it doesn't always have to be by the scripted book that you have to go together. For so long, we played defense, we ran the ball, and we made enough plays on offense to throw the football to win games. But there was no margin of error. You know, we had good special teams, and, you know, sometimes you get a quarterback who can be like a Patrick Mahomes, a Ben Roethlisberger, a Tom Brady. You know, they make you look better than you are. And it's just like, you know, just give them a little bit of the leeway and let them do their thing. And, you know, you saw that a lot of Ben very, very early on. And I think you've seen that throughout the course of his career, how special of a player he can be, particularly late in the game, and just making plays at times that they're impromptu. And
yeah.
So, you know, that's the sign of having a special player. And when you have one of those guys, particularly at that position, boy, it's a comforting feeling going into games.
Yeah, we'll see if he can do it another year or two for your former team, the Steelers. But, you know, Coach, you are always linked with a job opening. Hey, Coach Cowher, he might want to come out of the, you know, come off the stage and get back in the coaching ranks. How come you never did it?
You know what, Teague, I walked away for family reasons. My wife needed me at the time. And, as I got away from it, I knew there was a good football team. I was leaving someone, and, you know, and good staff and everything else. But as I got out of it, my wife passed away 3 years later. I met my current wife, and the more I was out of it, the more I just realized, wow, there's more balance in my life than I've ever had before, and I'm able to do things I never could do before, traveling and enjoying an off season, and, you know, I still had the platform to come back and be around guys and talk football. There weren't any losses. No, there weren't any wins, and I ended that's a part of it as well. You know, and then I look back and I said, 15 years, I don't need to validate. I mean, I was very comfortable, and that's why I came to closure. I'm very comfortable with my career as a coach, and I really was. I don't need to come back and validate anything.
Yeah.
Did I miss the competition yet? Did I miss the camaraderie yet? Did I miss the locker room and, you know, the game day strategizing? I mean, but I also then realized, some point you prioritize things a little bit more. I still had the platform to talk football, but I also have a chance to get back to some normalcy. I'm a normal guy. I grew up in Pittsburgh. I enjoy shopping. I do as I do now. I go to Grace's in New York City. I love walking through Central Park. I am able to do things now that's more of my normal life. And that, you know, that's important to me. And I realized I never didn't have that for those years that I was coaching. I was so driven. It was me and the family. And you know, and as the family goes on and you kind of try to recreate yourself, you know, I was all of a sudden the challenge of TV became something like I was intrigued by. Like,
yeah.
You know, I'm still continuing to try to get better. It's a different part of life, and you know, I'm still trying to grow. And at the same time, I get to still talk about a game I love and always did. So, yeah, I just never felt like I had to come back.
And good for you, because a lot of people don't find that balance. A lot of coaches, they struggled to find that balance. You identified it, and you found it. Of course, we're talking to Bill Cowher, CBS colleague, 2020 Hall of Fame inductee. He's going to be at Arrowhead this weekend with the crew, CBS Sports Radio, Tiki and Tierney.
Hey, Coach, let's get into some of these new coaches that are jumping up around the National Football League. I mean, Mike McCarthy's he knows how to coach. Ron Rivera, he knows how to coach. But Kevin Stefanski, he walks into the Cleveland Browns. They have a ton of talent on that squad. And if you were advising him, what's the first thing that he needs to do to get his team? I'm not talking about all the other, you know, the outside front office stuff that you have to deal with as a head coach. I'm talking about from a player coach standpoint. What does he need to do to get that team, I guess, focused and really draw some leadership into that locker room?
Yeah, I mean, I think your point is well taken. And I was just say this, Dick. I think the other thing is I think he does need to get a feel for the building and get a feel for what the protocols are to go through what he wants to go through. You come into a football team, and he needs to identify who's in and who's not, who's there for the right reasons and who's not. You know, you need to align yourself with people that think like you, that act like you, that you want to represent what you, with the core values that you have. He's got a talented team. But I think what he needs to do come in there, they need some structure. They need direction, but they need to hold people accountable. You know, accountable for their actions on the field, accountable for their actions off the field. And sometimes it may take making an example or two. But he also needs to have the backing of the team. I mean, that's the one thing sometimes I see young coaches going in, and there's such a division in the building that you get mixed messages being sent. And for players, they have to know that Kevin Stefanski is the man in charge when he's standing up in front of that football team. It's not going to be DePasto. It's not going to be whoever the GM may be. Not going to be the owner. He's the football coach. He's the guy that's going to pull him aside, and he's got to make him right. He's got to tell him when they're doing it wrong. He's going to pat him on the back when they're doing it right. But he has to be the man in charge. When he walks into that room, he needs to demand respect. And so that takes the support of everybody around him. So I think he's going into a football team, like you said, I think they're very talented. I think they need to look at their offensive line. I think it starts there. I feel like sometimes there's too much worrying about who is getting the ball. You know, once you just run, you got two of the best runners in the National Football League, and we're worrying about how many touches Landry gets or Odell gets. I mean, come on, seriously.
You got
the two best runners. You got Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Are you kidding me? I mean, I don't care how many times you touch the ball. And I, you know what? I saw Odell. Odell's one of the best blocking receivers in the league.
It's true.
He's a great receiver. But you know what? You need to, you know, embrace that. You need to nurture that. And then on the other side of the ball is, you know, you get your linebackers back. So he needs to get a good staff of teachers, a good staff that gives them a system that takes their strengths and they can sit down and talk about their strengths. And don't worry about the personalities. Build a system that's built around the talent that you have. And I think Kevin will do that.
Okay. Bill, 15 season with the Steelers, 62% of your games you won, regular season, Super Bowl champ, a TV star, as I said a few times, one of the genuinely good people in our business, mm-hmm. and now officially immortalized as a football legend, Hall of Fame inductee. We're all so happy for you. We're all so proud of you. Great job, and have a good time with the boys out at Arrowhead this weekend, Bill. Thanks, man.
Thanks, BT. Thanks, Tiki. It's always great talking to you guys.
That was a lot of fun. Real treat having Coach here on the show, Tiki and Tierney. Let's get the update from Mac. We'll come back. We've got the blast. Rich Ackerman sizing it up. Tell us what's happening in the world of sports. Take it away, Ack. All right, still going to get to the blast here on Tiki and Tierney. First up, though, time to answer or ask the pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question coming in from Steve in Arizona. Steve Souza? Which Aaron needs to have the bigger game for the Packers to beat the Niners, Jones or Rodgers?
I'm going to say Jones. Jones has been the catalyst all year long for this Packers squad. Now, Aaron Rodgers is the man. Mm-hmm. You can lean back on him if things go awry, but if they're going to beat the San Francisco 49ers on the road, they're going to have to run the ball and do it effectively.
I'm not going to really disagree, but just something else to consider before we move on. You're going to need, you know, two or three of those all-time high-level throws again for Rodgers. So really the answer is probably both. I mean, just based on how the Niners defense is.
Definitely, and the Niners offense.
Well, Garoppolo didn't play particularly well against the Vikings, but they went ultra-conservative. Vikings 27 minutes without a point, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
They both have to play. Listen, they're 7.5-point dogs for a reason. Both will have to play well. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. So tomorrow, give you a little pop. Ice Cube's going to join us, which will be really fun.
Yay, yay.
Yay, yay. You got to do it. You got to do it right. Yay, yay.
He's the best, man.
Did you see what the big three did today?
No.
That's one of the. I mean, that's really what we're going to have him on for. We're kind of talking about the Lakers as well. He's a big Laker fan. We'll have a little fun with Q.
Lakers
just
have
jump
been
around.
Unbelievable. Seriously, unbelievable.
Yeah, wait me when they play the Clippers in the Western Conference Championship.
AD hasn't played, three games? Four games?
Four games, I think it is.
And they've won all of them?
Yeah. No, I hear you.
Dwight
nice
Howard.
They've done a nice job.
21 and 15.
No throwback. Yeah, Superman.
Like, what the heck?
Listen, there's a reason why Pelinka's got the extension, and rightfully so. He constructed a pretty damn good organization.
LeBron just makes anybody around him
better. Well, that goes without, except last year. Well, although they were in fourth. They were fourth before he got hurt. That's fair. You know, I don't want to be unfair to LeBron. No doubt. They need one more shooter. That's something you and I have talked about for a while. But the big three lowered. They did a couple things today. They lowered the age to 22.
What?
Yeah, because the one thing that they're trying to get away from, and we'll talk to Cube about this tomorrow. I don't want to get too deep into it now. But you know, watching and doing some of the games, I mean, it's high level stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it really. And I'm not just saying that because I get a check from them. Like it's high level. I mean, really, it's good. But there is a thought for some that it's kind of like the old age home for players.
I hear you.
And they're trying to, well, not trying, they're doing it now.
Oh, it's like, hey,
there's going to be open tryouts to go to the combine. I mean, so they're opening this up to the basketball community. 22 is now the age limit, which is pretty interesting. And there's also some rule where if you disagree with a foul call, you can actually do one-on-one against an opposing player to have it reversed. That's just a quirky ad. But no, I'll talk to Cube tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That's actually kind of cool, though.
Well, Fireball, that's their initiative. All right, Teague, let's get to the blast. Here we go, guys. See what's cooking.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, so 13 more members of NFL's Centennial Class reveal led by Paul Tagliabue. We had Coach Cowron before. Just get it on Apple or radio.com where you get a podcast. It was great. Tom Flores, Drew Pearson left off again, and Pearson not happy.
I'm just disappointed. I just can't believe it. We thought we were going to have a good moment. We deserved that moment. Can't do nothing about it. Can't catch no more damn passes. Can't run no more routes. It's there. What upsets me more is when they say you don't deserve it, they talk negative about you. There's nothing negative about my career in the NFL. Nothing. But man, it hurts. They broke my heart. They broke my heart. And they did it like this. They strung it out like this.
Well, I got to tell you, that's the first time I've heard that. That's some of the most poignant audio. I mean, wow.
Yeah, not happy doesn't describe that correctly. I mean,
wow.
He's emotionally distraught.
Wow. So, I mean, that is as real as it gets. Mm. What, if anything, can the Hall of Fame do to improve the election process?
I mean, the problem with the election process, and we had this conversation with Clark Judge 3 years ago, BT, when he talked about, like, the number of all-decade players, of which Drew Pearson is one. He's 1970s all-decade. He's the only one of those all-decade players that's not in the Hall of Fame. So the 70s all-decade team, everyone except for Drew Pearson is in the Hall of Fame. But remember, Clark Judge told us there are all-decade players from the 70s and the 80s, well, 70s, but not really. Just only one of them now, Pearson. But the 80s and the 90s, who aren't even in the conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, their names don't even get mentioned.
No, they get lapped.
You get forgotten and lapped. And so, I mean, I think the only way to remedy this is to put greater emphasis on team Hall of Fames and make
that's a good idea.
Make team Hall of Fames
that.
Like more robust in a building.
I thought you meant putting like the entire, like a champ in the, not
no,
their
no,
own
no,
Hall
no,
of
no,
Fame.
No, no, no. So
but bringing the, like the Cowboys
like
the, of whatever
like
year
the
to
giant,
Ohio.
Like the Giants should have a Hall of Fame.
But that's and, still going to leave you a little,
but,
little short of
but
the
at
stick.
Least it will give, it will feel different because there's certain players that are icon. I'm one of them. That's mm-hmm. an icon of a team, right? That's never going to get into the Hall of Fame. Maybe I get in the Hall of Fame. Who knows? But they'll never be in that conversation. They'll be in the Ring of Honor. They'll be thought of heavily or greatly about the history of that organization. But the Hall of Fame just doesn't have room for them for whatever reason. Yep. I mean, they should have more room in the Hall of Fame, but they just don't. And so you get this. And you never want this.
I was going to say, I don't have a lot to add because everything you said is sensible and on point. You what you hate to see happen is to have legends reduced to that.
That's right.
Where they lament and they go to bed angry.
Yeah, it's almost like he resents playing in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, you could make the argument that the 70s may have been the most important decade in NFL history.
The
antiquated style from mm-hmm. the 50s and 60s ushered into the 80s with Walsh and West Coast offense. And the
merger happened right before.
Yeah, true. We feel for you, Drew. That was hard to listen to. Wow. All right, and there's a Knicks fan. Did you see this stupid story? Jesus. I mean, there's a Knicks fan who's upset, all right? So he won $1,000 in lottery scratch-off tickets for hitting a half-court shot. Now, the thing is, he had 30 seconds to hit one. It wasn't like he got one. But the Lakers fan hit one, and he got, I think it was $100,000. So mm-hmm. the problem is, does the young man who won this, does he have a gripe? Does he have a gripe? I guess he's got a gripe, but the Knicks do a million things wrong. I mean, there's... The Knicks basically do everything wrong. I mean, I can save time by just saying the Knicks do everything wrong rather than actually identifying what they do wrong.
Yeah.
Because they do everything wrong.
Yeah.
Except one thing. They spend money. The one thing I can never say about the Knicks is that they're cheap. And I believe they do this more than once. I can believe it's a recurring sponsored in-arena thing. Get over it, dude.
Yeah. Look, he doesn't have a gripe because the Lakers do it one way. They want to give away $100,000. They're going to give away $100,000. The Knicks do more frequent instances of $1,000 in scratch-off tickets, which he then bought, and then he won $500.
$500.
He won $500. So he had $1,000 worth of scratch-off tickets.
And he said
tickets.
He left his apartment all filthy because that little bit of gray stuff that you scrape off with the penny
and
goes everywhere.
And he won $500. He won $500.
Hey, $500 more than he walked in before he went into the Garden.
$500 cost him nothing.
Yeah, I'm with you. This is Nick Cade. I get nuts on the Knicks. I'm going to give him a pass on this. This doesn't move me at all to get overly amped up. I have no problem with what happened. Tua expected to throw for teams in a private workout in April. Tua's progressing
surprising.
Very nicely, yeah. Not at the Combine or Bama's March Pro Day, but if he starts to look more mobile and healthy, how much should that factor into a team's decision? I think what we say by a team's decision, can that maybe open dialogue for the Bengals to maybe take him if he looks good?
I mean, maybe, but I think the Bengals are going to be set on the Ohio kid, Joe Burrow, Heisman Trophy winner, national champion. But I do think teams that are maybe looking in the top 10 will look differently upon him if he is able to throw. And it's not going to be about how he throws or what he looks like, because we know what that looks like. It's what the doctors are going to say when they look at the structure of his hip, which was fractured, and he obviously had a major surgery on. If that looks sound and he can run mm-hmm. and be mobile and do all the quarterback drills, it's less about him throwing. It's more about the drills, and he can do those without – feeling any pain, then I think that's when he becomes an issue or it becomes a viable top 10 candidate again.
Here's what I want to see. I don't totally disagree, but here's what I would want to see if I've got a premium pick in this year's draft, right? I want to see whatever day that is, whether it's, April, but then I want to come back and I want to see him the next day. Because
mm-hmm.
I want to see how quickly he regenerates. I want to see if the soreness lingers. I want to see if he is ready to play football. If I'm going to draft you in the top 10 and give you a lot of money and basically hinge my franchise on you, I got to know that you're healthy, and we're all rooting for him.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
That's it. It's the end of the road here, Teak. Today. Don't start
singing. I was getting ready to. You knew I was getting ready to. You didn't let me get boys to bed yesterday.
By the way, you know where I slept last night? In my five-year-old's little Porsche, little bed. I didn't sleep last night.
He's not in the bed yet?
No. Kinsley was throwing.
Oh, I got you.
I had nowhere to go. I'm going to sleep.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.